Welcome to the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, brought to you by the Chicago Health Law and Professional Licensing Firm of Michael V. Favia and Associates. This is your host, Nick Augustine, and today our guest is Dr. Bruno Cortes. He's a cardiologist, speaker, and a best-selling author. In this episode of the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, Dr. Cortes talks about the several books he wrote on healing the head and healing the heart, being focused on stress and wellness. Let's say good morning to Dr. Cortes.
Good morning, Dr. Augustine.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to the idea to write these, to start writing books.
Well, the books were born out of an experience in my office. I wanted to help my patients more, so I created in my office a conference room for patients and their families. We used to meet each other for an hour and a half, twice a month, and we shared of ourselves. I told them about my stress as a physician, especially if I deal with a patient who is going to die, and then express also their own feelings the day before heart surgery or when they were having angioplasty. So we became a support group, and I discovered the patient as a person. That's a key concept. Many physicians, unfortunately, don't know the patient as a person. They limit themselves to asking what the symptoms are. They give the medication, and according to their own diagnosis, and that is the end of it, unfortunately. I personally feel differently. That's why I give talks to physicians in several hospitals, expressing that the patient has to be known as a person. So don't limit yourself to ask what is wrong with you, but most of all, ask what is going on in your life. I have observed that many patients, before having a heart attack, they had premonitory symptoms that they ignored. And then the stress escalates and ends up with a heart attack. Now, stress is not an illness in that we all have stress. Stress is part of life. But it's when the stress escalates, when we start slamming doors, punching the desk and all that, it's then that we harm ourselves. So my advice is to use some form of stress measures. The one that I teach to my patients is, first of all, to share their own problem with somebody. You must have a spiritual counselor or a spiritual friend, somebody to whom you can open your heart without shame to say what is going on in your life. And also I found extremely helpful the technique of meditation. See, meditation is a spiritual practice that has many benefits. Has benefits at the level of the mind because reduces the number of thoughts that we have. Normally, we have 60,000 thoughts every day, according to Chopra. And the majority are, unfortunately, the same thoughts we had yesterday. So, instead of being a victim of your thoughts, take a proactive role and do meditation. How do you do meditation? Well, the simplest way is to sit on a comfortable chair in a warm environment and close your eyes. See, when you close your eyes, of course, the attention is no longer on the world around you, but it's on yourself. Then, breathe, usually it's better either through your mouth or through your nose. But if you pay attention, whenever you breathe, when you inhale, when you inspire, the air is slightly cool. When you exhale, the air is warmer because it's been warmed in the nose. So, focus on that feeling. Pay attention to the cool air when you breathe in and warmer air as you breathe out. It's a simple mental device, this one. Other people may prefer to say a word that inspired them. It can be Jesus or God. And they repeat mentally the same word. So if you do this practice, you will notice that gradually the number of thoughts is less. The mind becomes quiet. And when you meditate, sometime between one thought and another, there is an interval of silence. At that moment, you are in touch with the spiritual part of yourself, and you can achieve healing. I do meditation because in my medical practice there is a lot of stress. As a cardiologist, you deal with medical emergency, sudden death, and sort of all illnesses. That's why you need a tool. You need to heal yourself, to stay away, to limit. Maybe a good way to represent a stress is a flame. So imagine that within yourself there is a flame. Now, it's up to you to choose the intensity of the flame. If you are taken by the stress, the flame is high and you burn yourself, metaphorically. Instead, if you reduce the stress, the flame is lower and warms you and doesn't cause any issues. So, practice meditation. Sit down, close your eyes, focus on your stress. And let go of your thoughts. See, when you meditate, as soon as you close your eyes, many thoughts come to your mind. You say to yourself, oh, come on, you have a lot of things to do. You have a full schedule. Don't waste your time with meditation. A meditation is not a waste. It's a spiritual practice that can save your life. I can tell you with all my heart. And you have to believe me because as a cardiologist, I had a variety of experiences throughout life. Do the meditation. Stay there in the chair, you say, for how long? Well, it's up to you to do it. If you have the time, 10, 15 minutes would be ideal. Sometime you may do it longer if you feel like. That is the average time that is necessary to reduce the stress. This is what I advise.
I think that that is excellent advice, and it makes me think about how much goes on in the world that affects our minds, how much is on the news, how much is in the papers, how much is on social media, and I wonder if our minds are just not equipped to deal with that much information, with that much emotion, that frequently and that often. What do you think?
You're absolutely right, Dr. Augustine. We are not equipped because we are sensitive, you know. Our emotions are a response to what you see around you, the war in Ukraine or the war in Russia, whatever it is. In other words, for some reasons, we think of situations where what we can do to solve the situation is almost nothing. So what remains to you is to save yourself. And instead of overreact, again, choose the time daily. When the best time is in the morning, as soon as you wake up, the body is relaxed and is very healthy to do it. Also, some people like to do it again in the afternoon, around 5 o'clock or so. Take 10 minutes of yourself. See, what happens is that you become a different person when you meditate. In that, you don't react to stress, the normal stress of life, as we normally do. But you are a sort of more relaxed. You are less affected by the stress. So your response is more benevolent. And it's a beautiful feeling. You feel also relaxed. Number of thoughts is less. To anything that happens to you, if you do meditation, you will notice immediately that your response will be completely different. You are my patience. You are conscious of the fact that you own the sense of control. You don't give up control like nothing. You keep it for yourself because meditation gives you that sense of control.
When we were in COVID lockdown, people did not have much control over anything. People's anxiety went through the roof. One of the colleagues I was talking to focused on how important it was to get outside and take a walk, get in the sun, have some vitamin D, and let your brain just go. Now, I know that's not the same as meditation, but exercise, walking, and doing other things like that in your day, to me, seems like taking control of your mind, your heart, and your body. What can you tell us about exercise and just walking?
You are absolutely right, Dr. Augustine. The fact that we do meditation doesn't mean that we don't need anything else. Exercise is vital for your health. So I believe that should be included daily, in the morning especially, a walk. You know, without running. I don't like running. Walking is the best exercise. In fact, there is a Chinese proverb which says, don't worry about walking. Worry about not stopping. See, no matter how fast you go or slow, that is an ideal situation. So physical exercise, I agree with you, conditions your heart, also in touch with nature. I find it very helpful. I often look at the skies myself, because when you look at the sky, you have a spiritual experience which consists of the fact that you have a sense of infinity. See, the concept of infinity is difficult for us to grasp because we don't understand, we don't know. We never had the experience of infinity. Nobody can tell that he has experience of infinity. But again, looking at the sky, you become more sensitive, more spiritual. You get in touch with God, and you realize that our permanence on earth is temporary. We all have this to live this beautiful world around us, unfortunately, and become a spirit. The body goes, but the spirit remains. It's an element of faith. And when you look at the skies and think this way, you have the spiritual consolation that, yes, we have to leave this planet, but my spirit will be with the spirit of God forever.
I also like the idea, in looking at the sky, one of the things I asked myself was, do I look at the sky during the day or during the night? Because that's two different ideas. And in also infinity, I thought of looking into a great body of water, being on the coast of the ocean and just looking out. That seems like infinity as well.
I agree with you. I love water. I was born in an island, which is the island of Sardinia. It's a beautiful island. And the water is absolutely incredible. It's warm and clear. And I miss it, honestly. But I myself feel the need to go to the lake and watch Lake Michigan. So I agree with you.
Right. When you talk about other physicians and attending your speeches and reading your books, can you tell me a little bit about doctors who have learned to incorporate healing and stress and meditation in their medical practices and what, if anything, they found as a positive result? And were they quick to add these concepts into their lives and practices, or are some just busy and hesitant? What has your experience been?
My experience, unfortunately, doctor, is sad in that the majority of physicians put their heart only into disease. You know, go to the office, one patient after another, paperwork to do, insurance companies, relatives of patients to face. And so the experience is certainly not the most congenial. I don't remember meeting many physicians who do meditations at all. If I say about me, when I give the talks and I tell them, and I sense that I'm touching a sore spot, but unfortunately, many physicians are not interested in meditation, and they don't do it. They consider it a sort of waste of time. It's a very sad thing what I'm saying. I don't remember physicians doing meditation.
Mm.
But I myself, you know, excuse me, I feel the spiritual need to be a teacher of health. You know,
well,
I don't go there and playing big. I just said, look, in my life, this is what I do. Then it's up to them to decide if do the same or not. But I'll tell you, even physicians, when I finish the talk, some of them come to you and they say, you know, you are on the right track. So some are sensitive, but the majority, I'm sorry to say, are not. I don't want to criticize my fellow colleagues. I love them. They are like me, but again, I would avoid too much stress.
I believe that the business and the practice of medicine is so time demanding. The insurance companies and all of the bureaucracy and everything, as you said, are such that it's very difficult for doctors to take that time for their patients and for themselves. But maybe we hope that this is something that people can do as a supplement to traditional Western medicine in addition to what they're doing. So there's got to be ways for physicians to incorporate that wellness focus on stress into their medical practice, especially by reading some of your books. So can you tell us a little bit about the books?
Well, I can say the books came out, especially Heart and Soul, which was published by Random House. It was my first book, and I can tell you Random House, as you know, is a very solid publishing house. Now, how I was born? In my office in the conference room, on the ceiling, I had microphones. So all the words I told my patients, and especially all the words they told me, were recorded. And then the recordings were typewritten by a secretary. Little by little, I accumulate stuff in such a way that the book came up. And again, it's been my first book, and it's been of great help for me. Then I wrote a book about the spiritual heart. I truly believe, Dr. Augustine, that the heart is not a muscle. Actually, a heart surgeon said a stupid muscle. I don't think so. In your heart, my friend, there is a spirit of God. It's nowhere else. It's not your mind, in the liver, in the lungs, kidney whatsoever. It is in your heart. So it's up to you to be in touch with God in your own heart. In fact, I found something that is unusual, but if you lie on the right side, horizontally in bed, and put your left hand under your heart, you will notice that the heartbeat suddenly changes. After 2 or 3 beats, the heartbeat becomes softer. You feel less the heartbeat. I can tell you can do it yourself. Maybe it's easier if you lay on the left side and you put your right hand at where the heartbeat is. Do it. You will notice that the heart sends for love. So, again, the spirituality of the heart is what I truly like to talk about, and that's why I wrote The Spiritual Heart. This is especially useful for heart patients. The heart patients, you know, they are powerless. There is the physician who say, "You have a bad heart." What a nice thing to say to a patient. So, why don't you encourage him? Why don't you replace your negative statements with something more encouraging, telling that within your heart there is a spirit of God, that the heart is a spiritual organ. Talk to your heart, love your heart, because in this act of love, you can gain physical energy for your healing. The people who heal the best are the people who are more spiritual, the people who do less or worse, are the one that they couldn't care less. Everything is in the hands of the physician. There is nothing I can do. No. you can do a lot for yourself if you keep in touch with your heart.
So important. It's such good advice. And the thing that I keep thinking about is slow down and breathe. And these books, so there, how many books are there total, and how can people get them?
Well, I don't know. I know the books I wrote. Of course, there are hundreds of books. But the fact that there are books doesn't mean that people grab the book. They have no interest. They may have more interested in seeing something different, like a movie or so. So, also doing things, good things out of the heart. You know, go and see a friend who is sick. Give your consolation to somebody that all of a sudden has found out that he has cancer. The cancer is on the rise because too many people don't do any preliminary test. For instance, the colonoscopy should be done after 50 years, once a year. Many people don't care. It should be done also every 5 years if you are all right. But see, this is a proactive thing. If a person is a smoker, he doesn't care about checking the lungs. I remember a patient who came to my office with a chest X-ray, and there was a big lump. And he said, I resent the first time I touched a cigarette. So, again, the patient too has to play a role. Has to open the heart to the physician when he talks, telling if he's having an excessive amount of stress, and that helps a lot in prevention.
Good advice, good information. So, Dr. Cortese, where can people find your books? Tell us about your website, where they can find the books and find out more about you.
Very frankly, the books are all on Amazon. One book is Heart and Soul. The second is A Spiritual Heart. The third is Heal Your Heart. Beautiful. The fourth is Heal Your Cancer. See, there are a lot of insights and advice to people with cancer describing what they can do for themselves. And the fifth is a publication in Italy about the heart. Also was translated into Spanish. So if people are interested, they can send me an email. Or see people I want to talk to. They can connect to me. I'd be delighted to be of help. My email is Bruno, B-R-U-N-O, Cortis, C-O-R-T-I-S, @mec.com. So Bruno Cortis @mec.com. If somebody likes
All right.
to write to me, I'll be delighted to answer.
Well, thank you so much for being with us on the program and explaining this. And I also hope that people can slow down, take a few breaths, and learn meditation. Turn the TV off a little bit. Do things that are less stressful and take care of your whole mind, body, soul, and heart. Because our health is the one thing that we're born with and that we have. It's our best asset, and it's so important to take care of yourself.
You're absolutely right. Health is a physical, mental, and spiritual. The three components are all important. For me, the most important is the spiritual, but the other two are also important. And
Amen
let me tell you
that
I thank you for giving me and I thank Dr. Fevia for giving me the time to express these thoughts, because it's a joy for me to do so.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, and God bless you. And you have a good day. And thank you to everyone who listens to our program. And when you find this program through social media or on a website, please share it with others, because you just never know who's looking for exactly this type of information. Again, this has been Nick Augustine with Dr. Bruno Cortis on the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, brought to you by the Chicago Health Law and Professional Licensing Firm of Michael V. Fevia and Associates. Thank you again, Dr. Cortis. You have a great day.
Thank you, Dr. Augustine, as well. Thank you.
All right.
God bless you.
Bye-bye now.